Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good evening. It's L.A. Steel. Tonight I'm going to attempt to do something that I read somebody that I haven't done before. There's Emanuel Swedenborg. And for those of you who may or may not know, he was a mystic that lived in the 18th century. Actually published between 1749 through to 1756 is when he published these works. And it's very difficult. I probably shouldn't spend too much time introducing him, but I would like to begin with a very, it's a rather difficult text, and I do have to state what's going on. But he wrote a series of works, and it was called Angelic Wisdom, and book one, but this one is called the Arcana Coelestia, or Heavenly Secrets, and that are contained in the Holy Scriptures, or words of God unfolded, beginning with the book of Genesis, and together with wonderful things seen in the world of spirits and in the angels, in the heavens of angels. And what many years ago I got into Swedenborg and passed up on a collection of his works, which was has some 20 volumes. But I read a number of his pieces, and the unusual part about Swedenborg was that he had the ability to he could be in the spirit world. He actually immersed into the spirit world. He could actually see spirits. He actually descended into hell and descended into heaven, descended into the ethereal plane, and so on. And he could go. He could be anywhere. He was a fascinating guy. And probably, and the reason that he was so fascinating was because he was considered to be such a realist. He was also an appraiser, a surveyor, and a land appraiser, and so on, and an engineer, a brilliant engineer. But he had a very practical mind, and a very left-brained kind of individual. But he was able to, what made him that, and that's what made him convincing to so many people as a mystic that he was. And because it was so far beyond his normal personality, but what he did is he could reveal these remarkable mysteries to people, to the world, that blew you away. I can recall one passage or one book where he described spirits in hell. Described the spirits that lived in hell, and they had graphic descriptions of them and that he saw and who spoke to him and who it's right up there with the other. William Blake was another that was had a remarkable prophetic ability. But this guy, Swedenborg, was amazing as well. Of course, there were 50 books, and that he wrote in this series, and Genesis series, and then another 40 books that he wrote in the, or I'm sorry, 50 chapters, and another 40 chapters that he wrote in the book and on Exodus. The exposition continues for the chapters of Exodus, including many more wonders of the spirit world. What I'm going to read from you, to you tonight is, following is an exposition of the chapters of Genesis along with many wonders of the spiritual world. And we'll start. I may skip around some tonight, but I'm going to try to see what we can do. But I think we should probably start from the beginning, chapter 1, and AC Genesis chapter 1, meaning AC, meaning the Arcana Coelestia, our heavenly secrets. From the mere letter of the word of the Old Testament, no one would ever discern the fact that this part of the word contains deep secrets of heaven, and that everything within it, both in general and in particular, bears reference to the Lord, to his heaven, to the church, to religious beliefs, and to all things connected therewith. For from the letter of, or sense of the letter, all that anyone can see is that, to speak generally, everything therein has reference merely to the external rites and ordinances of the Jewish church. Yet the truth is that everywhere in that word, there are internal things that never appear at all in the external things. There are internal things that never appear at all in the external things, except the very few which the Lord revealed and explained to the apostles, such as the sacrifices signify the Lord and the land of Canaan and Jerusalem signify heaven, or which accounts they are called the heavenly Canaan and Jerusalem, and the paradise has a similar signification. I must remind you again that this, some of the language is a little difficult, perhaps. It's not too bad, but a little difficult only because it was written in the 18th century and 1749. The Christian world, however, is as yet profoundly unaware of the fact that all things in the Word, both in general and in particular, nay, the very smallest particulars, down to the most minute iota, signify and enfold within them spiritual and heavenly things. And therefore, the Old Testament is but little cared for. Yet that the Word is really of this character might be known from the single consideration that, being the Lord's and from the Lord, it must of necessity contain within it such things as belong to heaven, or to the church, and to religious belief, and that unless it did so, it could not be called the Lord's work, nor could it be said to have any life in it. For whence comes its life except from those things that belong to life? That is to say, except from the fact that everything in it, both in general and in particular, bears reference to the Lord, who is the very life itself, so that anything which does not inwardly regard him is not alive. And it may be truly said that any expression in the word that does not enfold him within it, that is, which does not in its own way bear reference to him, is not divine. Now again, for those of you who may have just joined, I wanted to say we're covering Emanuel Swedenborg tonight and Heavenly Secrets, or the Arcana Coelestia, and we're going to be talking about that and what that is contained in the Holy Scriptures, or Word of God unfolded, beginning with the book of Genesis, together with wonderful things seen in the world of spirits and in the heaven of angels. And again, for those of you not familiar with Swedenborg's work, Swedenborg was a mystic, and could see the fascinating thing about him. He could see, he had visions of the underworld, visions of heaven, and he could go back and forth. He traveled back and forth into these worlds continually, and he wrote about them. And so Emanuel Swedenborg is quite remarkable. And I'm going to, I just read paragraph two. Paragraph three says, without such a life, the word as to the letter is dead. The case in this respect is the same as it is with man, who, as is known in the Christian world, is known internal and external. When separated from the internal man, the external man is the body, and is therefore dead. For it is the internal man that is alive, and that causes the external man to be so, the internal man being the soul. So is it with the word, which in respect to the letter alone is like the body without the soul. While the mind cleaves to the literal sense alone, no one can possibly see that such things are contained within. Thus, in these first chapters of Genesis, nothing is discoverable from the sense of the letter, other than that the creation of the world is treated of, and the Garden of Eden, which is called Paradise, and Adam as the first created man, who supposes anything else. But it will be sufficiently established in the following pages that these matters contain arcana, which have never yet been revealed, or it contains heaven, or parts of heaven, that have never yet been revealed, and in fact, that the first chapter of Genesis, in the internal sense, treats in general of the new creation of man, or his regeneration, and specifically of the most ancient church, and this in such a manner that there is not the least expression which does not represent, signify, and enfold within it these things. Again, I want to tell you that the language is a little confusing and exacting, but we're talking about Emanuel Swedenborg here. And this is a man who drifts in and out of reality. He drifts in and out of different realities. And he had the gift of being able to see and visit at any time the spirit world. And not only did he see hell, but he also saw heaven. He not only see the underworld, the that aspect of it, but he also saw the spirits of heaven and God. I'm just trying to. That this is really the case, no one can possibly know except from the Lord. It may therefore be stated in advance that of the Lord's divine mercy, it has been granted me now for some years to be constantly and uninterruptedly in company with spirits and angels, hearing them speak and in turn speaking with them. In this way, it has been given to me, it has been given me to hear and see wonderful things in the other life, which have never before come to the knowledge of any man, nor into his idea. I have been instructed in regard to the different kinds of spirits, the state of souls after death, hell, or the lamentable state of the unfaithful, heaven, or the blessed state of the unfaithful, and especially in regard to the doctrine of faith, which is acknowledged in the universal heaven, on which subjects of the Lord's divine mercy. More will be said in the following pages. So he's acknowledging right there, and and again, if you just joined us, we're talking about Emanuel Swedenborg, and his celestial, arcana coelestia, or the heavenly secrets. And in this, in chapter 1, and in this, he states that he has the gift, and has always had the gift, to speak to spirits, high and low spirits, and wander in and out of the, and they speak to him. He starts off with Genesis 1:1-31, and he goes into explaining these contents. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was a void and emptiness, and thick darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the faces of the water. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw this light, and it was good. And God distinguished between light and darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it distinguish between the waters in the distinguish between the waters in the waters." And God made the expanse, and made a distinction between the waters which were under the expanse, and the waters which were upon above the expanse, and it was so. And God, this is the gist. And God called the expanse heaven. And that, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the water called he seas, and God saw it. That it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the tender herb, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree bearing fruit after its kind, and whose seed is in itself upon the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth and the evening and the morning were the third day. And God made two great luminaries, great luminary to rule by day, and a lesser luminary to rule by night and the stars. And God sent them in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon earth, and to rule in the day and in night, and to distinguish between the light and the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters cause to creep forth the creeping thing, the living soul, and let a fowl fly above the earth upon the faces of the expanse of heavens." And God created great whales, and every living soul that creepeth, with the waters caused to creep forth after their kinds, and every winged fowl after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters and the seas, and the fowl shall be multiplied in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living soul after its kind, and the beast and the thing moving itself, and the wild animal of the earth after its kind." And it was so. And God made the wild animal of the earth after his kind, and the beast and after its kind, and everything that creepeth on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the heavens, and over the beasts, and over the earth, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the heavens, and over every living thing that creepeth on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I give you every herb and seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is fruit, the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for food. And to every wild animal of the earth, and every fowl of the heaven, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein is a living soul, every green herb for food, and it was so. And God saw everything, and he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, this is where Swedenborg starts to, it's called the contents, and this is where he starts to analyze the Genesis, okay, and add his own experiences and his own conversations with angels and God and spirits and so on. And I think it's absolutely fascinating. So, again, for those of you who might have just joined us, we're discussing Emanuel Swedenborg's work, The Heavenly Secrets, and Genesis chapter 1. There's 50 chapters in this particular book that he wrote. Okay. And actually, 90 chapters, I believe, because there's 40 that deal with the Exodus. And let's go through this. The contents, it says, the 6 days, or periods, which are so many successive states of the regeneration of man, are in general as follows. The first state is that which precedes, including both the state from infancy and that immediately before regeneration. This is called a void, emptiness, and thick darkness. And the first motion, which is the Lord's mercy, is the Spirit of God moving upon the faces of water. The second state is when a distinction is made between those things which are of the Lord and those which are proper to man. The things which are of the Lord are called in the word remains. And here are especially knowledges of faith, which have been learned from infancy, and which are stored up and are not manifested until a man comes into the state. And at the present day, this state seldom exists without temptation, misfortune, or sorrow, for which the things of the body and the world, that is, such as are proper to man, are brought into quiescence and, as it were, die. Thus the things which belong to the external man are separated from those which belong to the internal man. In the internal man are the remains, stored up by the Lord unto this time and for his use. Now the internal man being the soul of man. And we discussed this in the preface. The third state is that of repentance, in which the man from his internal man speaks piously and devoutly, and brings forth goods like works of charity, but which nevertheless are inanimate, because he thinks they are for himself. And these goods are called the tender grass, and also the herb yielding seed, and afterwards the tree bearing fruit. The fourth state is when the man becomes affected with love and illuminated by faith. He indeed previously discoursed piously and brought forth goods, but he did so in consequence of the temptation and the straitness under which he labored, and not from faith and charity, wherefore faith and charity are now enkindled in his internal man and are called two luminaries. So you see, he's showing you the internal man and the external man. Wherefore faith and charity are now enkindled in his internal man, or enkindled in his soul, and are called the two luminaries, which are the two luminaries that were given, you know, the moon and the sun. So he's relating all of these, all of Genesis, to the most spiritual aspect of this, and totally different than what we take literally to believe. The fifth state is when the man discourses from faith and thereby confirms himself in truth and good. The things then produced by him are animate and are called fish of the sea and the birds of the heaven. Let me take that again. The fifth state is when man discourses from faith and thereby confirms himself in truth and good. And the things then produced by him are animate and are called the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens. And the sixth state is when from faith and thence from love he speaks what is true and does what is good. And the thing which he then brings forth are called the living soul and the beast. And as he then begins to act at once and together from both faith and love, he becomes a spiritual man who is called an image. His spiritual life is delighted and sustained by such things as belong to the knowledges of faith and to works of charity, which are called his food, and his natural life is delighted and sustained by those which belong to the body and the senses, whence a combat arises until love gains the dominion and he becomes a celestial man. So essentially we're, you know, what he's saying is that in our we're the living soul and the beast, and as we are and what God created here, or what we are, is nothing until we act upon, both, until we have the luminaries, we accept the luminaries, which are faith and charity, and faith and love, and he becomes a spirit, then you become a spiritual person, you know, once you've done that, and who is called an image, then you are an image of God, and his spiritual life is delighted and sustained by such things as belong to the knowledges of faith and to works of charity, which are called his food, and his natural life is delighted and sustained by those which belong to the body and the senses, whence a combat arises until love gains the dominion and he becomes a celestial man. Amazing. And those who are being regenerated do not all arrive at this state. The greatest part of this day attain only the first state, some only the second, others the third, fourth, or fifth. Few people attain the sixth day, and scarcely anyone the seventh. And I have to relate this in what I think, especially now, when we near 2012, and we're entering the seventh day, or you know the sixth night, I should say, will be upon us. The sixth night of the galactic period will be upon us on November 7th, I believe, of this year, which of the Mayan calendar, which is creates a great deal of strife, but. If you can relate this to the sixth and seventh days of Genesis, as you see, what Genesis isn't so much the beginning of the world, the beginning of the most literal sense. Genesis is an extremely spiritual work, all right, in the Old Testament. And each word in Genesis, each letter in the Hebrew letter, was considered holy. It was considered sacred, and had multiple meanings, and multiple depth. I mean, depth of infinity in each word. And this is what Swedenborg discovered. And through the angels that he spoke with, and through the channelings that are, or the, I shouldn't say channelings, because he spoke with them, he had discourses with them, he had full conversations with them. And this is what makes Swedenborg one of the most fascinating men in history. So as we go along, you'll see me possibly relating this more and more. We'll see more revelations, but possibly relating this as well to the Mayan 7-day cycle, all right? And what this guy is saying, what Swedenborg says, is that, now you've got to remember, this was written in the 1700s when he lived, and few men have ever, and I use men in general and women as well, but you know, we, but I say few people have ever achieved that 6-day. Just like right now, few people have ever, I mean, few generations, no generation, has ever achieved the where we're at right now in the 6th day of the galactic period of the Mayan calendar. This is the highest that our bodies and minds have ever vibrated to a universal consciousness. Now, an evolutionary consciousness. If you can believe that, I mean, it's hard to believe because there's so much going on around the world, but at the same time, if you know what's going on with inside you, if you know how you feel and how fast time is moving and how remarkable technology is becoming and how so many people are being left behind, so many people are being left behind. It's just unbelievable, and there's nothing we can do about it. There's not a thing we can do about it. You know, you can bring, I mean, you can bring them up, but you can't... only so far. A friend of mine wrote me today an email, and I had to laugh, and we were talking about something quite different, but he nevertheless, he says, you can never, he quoted, I think it was Jonathan Swift, and he said, you can never, you cannot make a pig sing, and the pig becomes quite annoyed, meaning you can't explain things to people who can't see, you know, or who are on a lower lower vibrational levels. Okay, I'm not saying they're, well, I am saying it. I'm sorry, I am saying it. There are people who will understand, and there are people who won't. And there are people who will get mad at you because they don't understand. And that's perfectly natural. But if you are on an elevated plane, if you are rising to a 4th dimensional level in your existence, in your mind, how can you possibly relate to a person in that lower vibratory, 3rd dimensional tone, a 3rd dimensional reality, of an animal, you know? You can't teach an animal physics, you know, you can't. So it's like, this is exactly why you can't make a pig sing. and this is why what he's saying here, few people have ever reached that level described in the 6th day, and scarcely anyone in the 7th. And that's the 7th day, of course, is the Sabbath. The 7th day is the, you know, and in the Mayan calendar, that 7th day of the, the 6th night, right, of the galactic period, opens up to the 7th day. And the 7th day becomes the day. The 7th day becomes the universal consciousness. You become a co-creator with the universe. You understand that all is revealed to you, and you will ascend consciously, not subconsciously or unconsciously, but consciously. You will begin to ascend to the higher vibration existing within the fourth dimensional reality. That's where we're going, folks. That's what's happening. Not all. Maybe not everybody will go there. Who knows? Maybe they'll go there another time as they evolve into, higher species. Not higher species, but a higher human consciousness, I should say. We're all human. It's just a higher development of human consciousness. And then you have people in all societies that are absolutely unbelievable brilliant, and you have others that are just retarded, and that's unfortunate, and that's the way it is, and you can't, that's part of nature, it's part of law, part of reincarnation, part of just karma. I don't know, but all I know is that when we start discussing the concepts of ascension, we have to, as described either in the Mayan calendar, and now as we look at it in terms of Genesis in the Jewish calendar, in the Jewish faith, or in the Christian faith, okay, they both adhere to Genesis. Then we look at a man like Swedenborg, who has brought out to us what this means, and that these are all. I mean, the Genesis is a history of man's evolutionary consciousness, the evolution of his consciousness, the evolution of his mind and body and soul. And like they said, between, you know, the luminaries, as he, you know, the sun and the moon become like the spiritual life, the faith and charity and love. And, I don't know. These are all the 20 wonders that we exist in our reality, but as we progress through the different days of Genesis, it's no different than as we progress through the different periods of the Mayan calendar. And we are now in the last phase, in the last days. It's as though we are in that sixth day now. And then we can relate it to the sixth day of creation, in the sixth day of the Mayan calendar's galactic period. And much, much, much is still to be revealed to us between now and the end of this year. And also, much is about to happen in the sixth night, which is the fall of the entire economic and possibly physically the world system will end as we know it. We can see that now, but hopefully that will happen in not such a calamity, but we're hoping we'll be able to sustain our well-being right through to 2012, when then we are to ascend to a higher consciousness, a higher plane. We're no longer in a third dimensional reality. We will be in a fourth dimensional reality, which is similar in its I say it's similar in its surroundings, in our surroundings, but it's the fourth dimensional plane is the fourth dimension, rather, is a magical place. It's called fairyland, basically. It's where we will all be able to create what we desire like in a twinkling of an eye. You know, we're like fairies, like magicians, like whatever, you know, without gimmicks. I mean, you want to whatever you want, whatever you desire, you can have immediately. We will have that ability. We won't need industry. We won't need cars and houses and things built for us, because we will all be able to have them. There won't be any employment as we know it, because we'll have everything we want. Why would you want employment? Why would you want to slave over a hot grease pit all day, or a computer screen or something all day, when you can have everything you want? You don't have to do this. You'll no longer have to be a slave to industry, or a slave to a boss, or a slave to a government, or a slave to any system, because you will be completely intact. Everything you could possibly want and desire will be at your fingertips. All you have to do is think it up, and it's yours. But the bad part about it is, at the same time, there's a period of adjustment that comes, where you don't realize that one, you can also bring about bad things to you. I mean, if you desire bad, but there's that cutoff period, and that's why when you have this ascension process, people who are evil, people who are, I use the word evil loosely, but people who have, who are undeveloped, these people will not follow. They must be retrained, if you will, or go back through another lifetime, or go back to this. So it won't be so strange, and we will ascend. And this is why he says there are very, very few people who have ascended in this life, but there are those that have, and he's one of them. It's Swedenborg, as one of them, who has gone up and down through the different realities, through the different consciousnesses, and come back and told us about them. The internal sense. In the following work, by the name Lord is meant the Savior of the world, Christ, and himself, and him only. And he is called the Lord. Without the addition of other names, throughout the universal heaven, he is who is acknowledged and adored as Lord, because he has all sovereign power in heaven and on earth. He also commanded his disciples so to call him, saying, "Ye call me Lord, and ye say, well, for I am." And after his resurrection, the disciples called him Lord. And in the universal heaven, they know no other Father than the Lord, because he and the Father are one, and he himself has said. And again, I'm going to... I'll wait till I quote this part of the New Testament here. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Philip saith, "Show us the Father." Jesus said to him, "And am I so long time with you, and hast thou not known me, Philip? He hath seen me, hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me." Right. Well, that quote was John 14:6, chapter, blah, 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 blah. See, these are parts that I have difficulty with, because Swedenborg was held prisoner, I believe, just like so many other people, are held prisoners by religion, and especially by Christianity, and Islam, and Buddhism, and all these methods of reaching God, but in the dogmas that he passes through, I believe where I disagreed with him was in his freedom. He sensed that he did not have freedom. I mean, you sensed that he didn't have that freedom understanding. But again, in his in your writings at that time, you had to be very careful not to, if you were going to not be burned at the stake as a witch or something, you know, you had to be, you had to be careful. So he walked the line, he walked the Catholic line, the Jesus line, and so on and so forth. He was able to still bring about, by doing so, he was able to speak to the higher level mind, yours and mine, and say, you know, listen, I'm kind of like trapped in this thing. They're gonna burn me at the stake if I say there's no God, there's no Jesus, right? But maybe if you'll understand that, you know, we're God is one. Christ is God. Buddha is God. Muhammad is God. There were works of God. There were voices of God. So that's all you can say about that without getting too bogged down into the Christian concepts of things. And just knowing that Swedenborg had that onus of burden on him at the time. And of course he was, you know, whatever. But so God created, so he's saying Christ commanded that. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All right? And and I believe that what he's saying, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Show us the Father, Jesus said to him. Am I so long time with you, and hast thou not known me, Philip? And he hath seen me, hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, and show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. So, what Christ really was saying, I believe, is that I'm here like you're here. God is in me, and God is in you. And I'm here to show you and teach you that is what it is. You are God. You are not a God. You are God. You are a son of God. Just as I am a son of God and a daughter of God and so on. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The most ancient time is called the beginning. By the prophets, it is in various places called the days of old, and also the days of eternity. The beginning also involves the first period when man is being regenerated, for he is then born anew and receives life. Regeneration itself is therefore called a new creation of man. The expression to create, to form, to make, in almost all parts of the prophetic writings, signified to regenerate, yet with a difference in the signification, as in Isaiah. Everyone that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory. And I have formed him, yea, I have made him. And therefore the Lord is called the Redeemer, the former from the womb, the Maker, and also the Creator, as in the same prophet. I am Jehovah, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. In David, the people that is created shall praise Yah, J-H-A. And again, thou sendest forth thy spirit. They are created, and thou renewest the faces of the ground. And the heavens signify the internal man, and earth an external man, before regeneration may be seen from what follows. And verse 2 says, and the earth was a void in emptiness, and darkness was upon the faces of the deep, and the Spirit of God was brooding upon the faces of the waters. Before his regeneration, man is called the earth void and empty, and also the ground wherein nothing of good and truth is being sown, and has been sown in void, denotes where there is nothing of good and empty, where there is nothing of truth. And hence comes thick darkness, that is stupidity and ignorance of all things belonging to faith in the Lord, and consequently of all things belonging to spiritual heavenly life. Such a man is thus described by the Lord through Jeremiah. My people is stupid, they have not known me. They are foolish sons and are not intelligent. They are wise to do evil, but do good. But to do good, they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth, and lo, a void and emptiness, and the heavens, and they had no light. Faces of the deep are the cupidities of unregenerated man. The falsities thence originating, of which he wholly consists, and in which he is totally immersed in the state, having no light. He is like a deep, or something obscure and confused. Such persons are also called deeps and depths of the sea, in many parts of the world, which are dried up or wasted before man is regenerated, as in Isaiah. And awake as in the ancient days and the generation of old, art not thou it, that dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, the makers or the maker of the depths of the sea, a way of the ransom to pass over. Therefore, a redeemed Jehovah shall return. Such a man also, when seen from heaven, appears like a black mass, destitute of vitality. The same expressions, likewise in general, involve the vastation of man, frequently spoken of by the prophets, and precedes regeneration. For people, for before man can know what is true and be affected with what is good, there must be a removal of such things as hinder and resist their admission. Thus the old man must needs die before the new man can be conceived. And so what he's saying there is that the referring, of course, back to Genesis and the deep, the void that existed before God created the world, is the same void that exists within us before we learn about God and the universe, before we have faith and light and love and compassion and whatnot. And each time that we go overboard in the opposite direction, of course, we bring darkness on ourselves. And man, I swear, there are times, and I'm sure there are times in everybody's life when we are just seeming void of spirituality, void of hope, void of faith. It's like the world is just so grim, so damn hard, you know, and there's no way to keep your faith. It's just like, wow, how hard can it get, you know? We've all been down that road somewhere. But those of us who are strong enough to hold on and accept those moments of desperation, desperate moments in our lives, our relationships with other people, and in our relationship with ourselves, and our own self-flagellation, if you will. We whip ourselves daily, and to whip ourselves up to go to work, whip ourselves when we're at work, whip ourselves when we go home, you know, just to make a buck, which is whipping ourselves. And imagine how we got here. And imagine why we are and who put us here. Why are we slaves to other people? Slaves for our emotional and physical well-being. Why? Why? We aren't. We don't have to be. We don't have to be. But because what God is saying is that what happens is people fill their lives with other things. They fill that void with drugs. They fill that void with religion. They fill that void with sex. They fill that void with television or reading or whatever they do, right? Going to meetings or, you know, joining the PTA. You know? They fill their voids doing these things. What God is saying here, and what Emmanuel Swedenborg is saying here, is that in the Genesis is a guidebook as to how we should conduct our lives, in the sense that if we welcome charity and faith, these are the two luminaries that light up our world. Faith in God, the oneness of God, the perfection of God, the generosity of God, and the charity in ourselves, where we're not petty, and we're not selfish, and we're not full of envy and full of whatever. We can rid ourselves of that. And once we allow the light of heaven into our lives, and accept those guides, if you will, from heaven, those angels, those eternal lights, okay, of faith and charity, then we become full and full of light, and our void in us is gone. It's gone. There's no void. We're slaves to no one. We are above the world. We'll be soaring in that fourth dimensional state, and that's the way it will be. That's how it is in the higher levels of consciousness as we arrive there. And folks, what's so wonderful about it is we're almost there. If we can look at this as 2012, as possibly that date when we will have reached a higher vibratory consciousness, then we will ascend to a fourth dimensional level, a fourth dimensional state. We're almost there now. We all exist within that level now. We see it. We know it. We say, how did that happen? How did this happen? How did that happen? Look, gee, I didn't realize. Look, some good thing came about. All these things happened. And it's what is happening is we're walking already through that fourth dimensional level. We are being introduced to it because we know it's there. It's there. Just as Swedenborg walked it when he saw the spirits, spoke with the spirits, and he knew, just as we know. And we will know. I want to thank everybody, for those who joined me tonight, and those who are listening to this in the archives. We will discuss Swedenborg further next week. There's so much of his work, and I've wanted to get into his work for many, many years now. And I thought I would already send this, but there's a time for everything, and there's so much of Swedenborg's work that I'm going to enjoy working with you with it. And I wish you good night, and join us tomorrow. When we will not have George Dixon on tomorrow. George is attending a funeral. tomorrow night, and but we will be with him next week. And tomorrow, Lila and I will just be dealing with it. Yeah. So, again, I want to thank everybody and for listening, and hope you had a good evening. Thank you.